for Kevin Hayes with Grabner at his side. Holden's right in. He scores!
Defenseman jumping in and a smart play on the boards. Stone can't handle it on the boards. A real good job by Holden. Kevin Hayes that time did move his feet. And look at the composure played by Nick Holden.
Harper with a shot blocked by Tanner Glass. Open ice. Grabner with Lindberg. Here he is. He scores!
The other night, Tanner Glass had an assist for a great play in his own zone. This time he's going to get the lane. He's going to block a shot. He's going to get an assist here too.
Cody Ceci stays with it, but he turns it over. JT Miller. Lindberg shot. Scores! Oscar Lindberg. 3-0.
This is a bad play by the goaltender. He crosses his catching hand over his body. Just play it with your blocker. Oscar Lindberg, 2 goals tonight. He's becoming a proven NHL playoff performer, Johnny.
Glass in an exchange with Kyle Turris. It erupts. Tanner Glass floors Turris.
Francis Charron saying, you're going to send the guy over or not? The official, he's about had it
right
with the coaches. He's mad now. He's not mad at the players. He's mad at the coaches.
It's a stare-down contest.
It is. That's what it is. Right. Yep. That's what it is.
This series will go to Canada's capital on level ground. As it comes all the way back down, and another skirmish in neutral ice.
Dzingel and VC.
Series tied. But it doesn't feel like it. Welcome back. Hour number 3, Melnick in the afternoon, TSN 690 with Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo. Mitch Melnick until 6 o'clock, Friday Scrum edition of Habs Lunch in its entirety between 6 and 7. It is a B-plus today?
Yes.
You'll have to figure it out on your own at 6 o'clock.
Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Dagwoods. Now open in Laval on Saint-Marté and Daniel Johnson. Bring Dagwoods' unique taste to your neighborhood. Visit dagwoods.ca for franchising information.
In St. Louis tonight, the Blues will try to keep their season alive while the Predators try to advance to the Western Conference Final. How are you, Pierre?
I'm good. Your show was a B+.
No, the Friday scrum between noon and 1. Just that portion of it, yeah.
Oh, you're playing off the riff on the coach, right?
On the general manager.
The general manager.
That's right. Yeah, kind of.
Kind of, yeah.
So, you know what? I made this mistake before. When the Canadiens took a 2-1 series lead over the Rangers, I said it feels like it's 3-1, the way they're controlling the play. This is 2-2. It feels like the Rangers, though, are totally in control of it. I don't want to make the same mistake. I don't know, Pierre, so let me lean on you. At this point, would it really surprise you if Ottawa won the series?
No.
Okay.
It wouldn't, because they're not in trouble. They haven't lost on home ice. I remember when Ottawa was up 2-0, I said, easy, everybody, easy. The Rangers came back and punched them right in the mouth and punched them hard. And so now Ottawa's got a chance to just go home and hold on home ice. If they can't hold on home ice, and they're done in 6. If they can hold on home ice and they got a chance. But it's obviously tomorrow afternoon's a quick turnaround. It's a huge game. I think Carlson's really nicked up. That's pretty apparent. I probably didn't see our show because you couldn't. But we had a very, very interesting bit of tape on Carlson's injuries and injury, but how all the hits have started to accumulate. It's pretty apparent. He's been really taking it in the chops here in this series, much more than he did in the Boston series.
Well, you could clearly see him at the end of the second period. He was just in an incredible amount of pain.
Right. I agree. And he was also frustrated. He was extremely frustrated early in that game. He's like, what is icing and what isn't icing? He was really mad. What is offside and what isn't offside? The Ottawa people last night just weren't happy, and I don't blame them, actually. I could see how they'd be upset. The Rangers had their A game going. The Rangers took Ottawa right out of their structure. I told you yesterday, if Ottawa doesn't have structure, they can't win. They didn't. So it's a frustrating night for Ottawa. It happens. It happens to every team in the league. They get frustrated. Things break down. It's one of those things that just went awry almost right from the start.
Now, I know this happens a lot when one team is on and the other isn't, but the Rangers made Ottawa look slow last night.
They did. I totally agree. You know, you're so right on, Mitch. They made them look slow. They made them look ordinary. The one guy that stood out for Ottawa, and he really is a good player, boy. He's a good player. Pageau is just a very, very good player. he stood out again. He was really solid for Ottawa. But outside of that, there weren't a lot of guys that stood out.
Smith will knock it down. Turris with MacArthur. Kyle Turris, a shot. He scores! Kyle Turris finds a way to break the shutout with 6:26 left in the third period.
Well, build on little things if you're Ottawa.
No. They're playing with a lot of speed. They're moving the puck well. And we got to match their intensity and their speed and create more opportunities offensively ourselves, because we're not getting enough. And we're caught standing still playing defense.
Heard you say after that great shot went in, a little thing. So it does matter. It may not seem like much to anybody watching the game. Okay, yeah. Big deal. They made it 4-1. But it's something to think about prior to the next game, right?
Yeah, it's something to build off of, absolutely. One of the trends that's really interesting this playoff series, I don't know if you agree, Mitch, but the short side goal has become the new five-hole in the league. I talked about it the other day in the St. Louis National Series on Sunday. I know we're into – where are we now? Friday. But on Sunday last week, I was talking about it with some of the people around the series, and we're seeing more short side goals, I think, than ever. That Turris shot was a short side goal on Henrik Lundqvist, and we're seeing a lot of them. And because the goalies have to be so spread out in the net now because the pucks are flying at them at such a high rate of speed, the short side's a little bit more open than maybe it used to be a long time ago. So it's an interesting thing that's happened. But the Turris thing was a little thing, but I think it can give them a little surge of confidence because they dented Lundqvist, and that's not easy to do.
Outside of Carlson, Ottawa really isn't a superstar team. So when you have kind of a collective poor effort, is there anything you can do to kind of staunch the bleeding as it's happening in front of you?
Well, they have to look at, Rod, what happened with the fourth line of the Rangers last night. When you look at Oscar Lindberg and you look at Tanner Glass and you look at JT Miller, now JT Miller's not a fourth-line player in the league. I don't think Oscar Lindberg's a fourth-line player. That's just where he slots in on the Rangers because of their depth at center. Tanner Glass is more of a fourth-line player. But if you look at the fourth line in particular for the Rangers, they got it done with brawn and with brains. So if you're Ottawa, you got to take one of those pages from that playbook and say, okay, this is what these guys did. Now we got to match that. And I think Turris was talking about it on that soundbite in terms of matching their speed and intensity and urgency. And the Rangers had it. I felt they would. I really felt this thing was going back to Ottawa 2-2, and it has. And I really felt Anaheim and Edmonton was going to go back 2-2, and it has. I think the biggest thing for Ottawa is the start obviously matters a lot. If they fall behind in that game 5 tomorrow afternoon, they're going to be in big trouble.
Okay, Pierre, so you know the talk around the Senators right now. You mentioned it a little bit with Turris. Turris had the 7 minutes in penalties. Bobby Ryan was involved. Burrows was involved in it. Phaneuf was involved in it.
Let me get to this, okay?
We're going to have some action here, maybe with Brandon Smith and Dion Phaneuf. And you have a great
one. Want to go? Yeah, they're going to go.
Stay there.
There they go.
Be careful.
Punch is all over.
There it is. Brandon Smith, Dion Phaneuf.
Phaneuf's trying to lead by example. They're building off the goal. These are two strong guys getting after one another.
Yeah, Dion's trying to set something up, and that's what you do. You try to set something up for the next game right in front of your bench.
And good for Brendan Smith. Those are two big, strong guys.
Boy, Brendan Smith has had two outstanding games here in games 3 and 4. He's becoming a favorite with his new team.
John Forslund, Pierre McGuire. Go ahead, Mitch.
So people are watching in Ottawa the impact that Tanner Glass is having on the Rangers, and you mentioned the fourth line already on that side, Pierre. Senators fans are asking, should we entertain Chris Neal coming into the lineup now?
Really hard thing to do, Mitch Gallo, and it's a great question, and it's fair. I talked about it on Ottawa radio this morning before I flew out here to St. Louis. It's hard. He hasn't played in a while, and they want to make this a pace series. You heard that from their players. You heard it from their coach. I just don't know what kind of pace Chris could play at this time. He may be in a small sample size, let's say maybe an 8 to 10 minute period, maybe give you 4 really hard, fast minutes, because if he's playing more than 10 minutes in a game, then you're in trouble. That's just, he can't do that. So maybe half of that, let's say he plays 10, so let's give him 5 minutes of intensity and speed and you know, pugnacious attitude. That could help, but I don't know if that makes it a big difference. I just don't know. I don't know his conditioning levels. I don't know how hard he's been working in off-day practices. I just don't know. I don't know where he is at.
Not only has he not played, when he did play early in the year, he rarely played more than 6 minutes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I don't know how that influences a game. I can tell you I'll use Carl Hagelin as an example. Carl Hagelin is one of the fastest straight-ahead skaters in the league. Carl Hagelin didn't miss nearly as much time as Chris Neal has. Carl Hagelin came back in Game 2 of the Washington Series. He looked so out of place. He looked so out of place in that Game 2. I was like, oh, the poor guy. Now, since then, Game 3, he was better. Game 4, he was a lot better. So he's kind of reeled it in because he's got that get up and go. Chris doesn't have that. He's never had that. That's not his thing. So it's, I think it'd be a reach if he went in there and if he could influence the outcome of a game.
The impressive thing about the Rangers, there's a lot to like about them, but so they know they're going into Ottawa, and Ottawa is going to have to dish it out a little bit more. But they already faced that against the Canadiens. And it went, again, as I go back to how we started this conversation, when it looked like the series had tilted in Montreal's favor, partly because of the amount of checks that they were finishing and getting in the way of the Rangers and slowing them down a bit, they bounced back and got a second win. So I don't think Ottawa can come close to doing to them physically what the Canadiens have already done.
No, and one of the things that's happened to turn the tide of this series, that's such an excellent point, Mitch. One of the things that's really happened in the series, and it's, I think, a major point, and if you go watch the tape of the first two games, look at how easy it is for Ottawa to get in front of Henrik Lundqvist. While in games 3 and 4, a major point of emphasis from Alain Vigneault and Jeff Beaucoup and Scotty Arneal, the coaching staff there, do not let Ottawa have easy access to the front of the net. And they are jamming on these guys. They are paying. I mean, they're making the Ottawa forwards pay a significant toll to even try to get to the front of the net. It's been really difficult. If you notice, Lundqvist is seeing a ton of shots. I mean, he's seeing the shots, not a ton of shots, but he's seeing the shots that are coming at him compared to games 1 and 2 where he barely saw any shots.
Yeah, and that was that Mark Stone late in the game from the slot, right? Normally that's in right. The back of the net, and he saw it, and he was able to get his pad on it. Great save.
Correct. Yeah. Great point. The Stone one is a graphic example. There's no resistance there. If he sees that, and you see him push off just a little bit to make himself bigger, if he sees those more times than not, he's going to stop those.
All right, so Oscar Lindbergh, can you talk a little bit more? Where did he come from? Who is he? I seem to recall his name linked to the Canadiens for some reason. I got to go check. I know he didn't play for them, but there's something I got to check on this. But tell us about Oscar Lindbergh.
Yeah, Oscar comes from a program way up north in Finland called Skellefteå. And it's been a tremendous program in the Swedish league for a long time. Jan Eriksson, the former great two-way forward for the New York Rangers, was the coach up there for a long time. And so you can see kind of the influence that he's had on Oscar. But that's where he comes from. And he's been, obviously, you come out of a program like that. It's a winning program. You're around great players all the time. You practice against players that are really good, so it makes you better. He's strong. He's really quick. And his hockey sense is exquisite. So I'm not surprised he's turned out the way he has. But a lot of it comes because of the program that he was in over in Sweden. Here's one of the big mistakes, I think. I did a breakdown of this the other day. I'm not making it public. I'm just going to put it on the radio. I'm not going to put it out there in written form. If you look at since 2012 and you go look at the amount of players, Sweden's a country of 10 million people thereabouts. Finland's a country of about 6 million, about the size of the province of Quebec. Go look at the number of players between those two countries. Usually, since 2012, it's about 36 or more, between 36 and 40 players per year out of those two countries. That's unbelievable. They're producing players beyond belief, and a lot of teams, even though they say they're scouting it, they're under-scouting it. They're not scouting it well enough. Look at Arvidsson. How's Arvidsson doing here for Nashville? They're under-scouting it. Mattias Ekholm. These are guys that weren't first-round picks. Those areas are being way under-scouted. It's a problem, I think, for a lot of teams in the league.
You know, the fact that they're going out and signing a 30-year-old that has been playing in the KHL that was coveted by a lot of teams, and there were a lot of NHL teams, probably more contending teams and teams that thought that this guy might be the missing piece of the puzzle. You get the expansion team who only had one player to their name, Reed Duke, kid that they signed out of Brandon, free agent junior player. Now they've got two, and it's a pretty high-profile guy that a lot of teams were after. So kind of sends a message that they want to be competitive, that they want to do well, and it's going to be fascinating to see how this team's built from the ground up.
There is Bob McKenzie with Connor McKenna, Sean Starr, Rick Moffitt every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Shipachev going to Vegas. A lot of Canadiens fans going, well, there's a center. I think they were – somewhat interested in him a year ago, but not enough to lure him here. What do you? Is he a good player or what?
He's got talent. He definitely has talent. He's not young. I think he's 30 or 31. Let's see how it plays out. This is the new grand experiment. I think part of it's opened up because of the Canadians, quite frankly, because of what's gone on with Radulov and his comeback and what he's been able to do in Montreal. So teams are looking at not being as afraid to give guys opportunity. Panarin probably opened it up the most, but that was for younger guys. Panarin's still a young guy. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I'm not prepared to say it's going to be bad, or I'm not prepared to say it's going to be good. I want to give it a chance because I just don't know how it's going to play out. I really don't.
There's another name out there that has already played in the NHL. He's been linked all over the place as well, perhaps to Vegas, and that's Dadonov.
Yeah. Let's see on that one, too. Again, it's interesting because most of those guys don't like – they go back and they don't like to leave, but now all of a sudden you're seeing them starting to want to come back. So it's interesting. I don't know if part of that's because, you know, life in the KHL isn't as glamorous as everybody thinks. I don't know. I haven't spent any time in the league, but it's interesting to see how many players are, you know, not defecting, that's the wrong word, how they're leaving to try to come and play in the NHL again. Very interesting.
All right, before we get to the games tonight, including the one in St. Louis, the fact that Ottawa and New York, it's a short turnaround because it's the afternoon tomorrow, 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Right. Do you think that makes a difference one way or the other?
If Ottawa's got a lot of injuries that we don't know about, it could. Rangers are relatively healthy based on everything that I know. And, you know, we talked about the four-line game before. So I think if it is a quick turnaround, Ottawa's got some banged-up people or maybe people that are more banged up than we know, that's a problem for Ottawa. But if they're okay and healthy, it shouldn't be an issue.
And on the full NBC network tomorrow night, the Capitals try to stay alive against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Sidney Crosby skated during practice today.
Yeah, he skated the last 2 days, as far as I know, and he skated with his teammates today. I wouldn't speculate on anything there. I know the doctors extremely well there, and I know how much they're aware of concussion protocol, so I wouldn't know. I'm not going to try to formulate an opinion one way or the other, except to say it's probably better news than not that he's out there skating with his teammates.
And what do you make of, in practice today anyway, Alex Ovechkin playing alongside Lars Eller and Tom Wilson, right?
Yeah, I heard that earlier today. Interesting. I don't know if that's how it's going to play out. You know, they've had so much success as a group there. And one of the real combinations they had was Burakovsky and Eller, and they would rotate the right winger. Sometimes it would be Tommy Wilson. Sometimes it would be Brett Conley. But I don't know what – listen, I wouldn't panic if I were them. You're going home. All you got to do is win one game. If they're going to do that, great. And if it works, even better. But I wouldn't be in panic mode yet. I really wouldn't. I'd go out there and put it all on the Pittsburgh Penguins in the first 10 minutes of that game and try to break them and set up a game, you know, six. But we'll see. We'll see how it plays out.
Trotz obviously wants more out of Ovechkin. Do you think this is actually more of a kick in the behind than it is an actual roster move?
It could be. I don't know. I'm not even going to try to speculate, Mitch, except to say this. I've done every game in that series. I've done virtually most of Washington's games and Pittsburgh's games this playoff season. I don't understand why you would do that to Ovechkin. I tried to make the point yesterday. I know he didn't score. I know he hasn't been scoring a lot in the series. I understand that. But the effort's there. And guys, it's hard for wingers. I don't know too many wingers that dominate this league. They need a center iceman to help them or a defenseman that moves the puck. Wingers just don't dominate games. It's not the way the league is set up. So, I mean, the guy's trying. I'm going to tell you right now, because when he hasn't tried, I've been sure to make sure people are aware. But he's been trying his butt off. He's a convenient target. Let's put it that way.
Finishing up with Pierre McGuire on site in St. Louis. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Ray Shiro, the general manager of the New Jersey Devils, is going to join us. How about that?
You couldn't talk to a better hockey guy, I'll tell you that right now, and you couldn't talk to a better man. He's as good a hockey man, he's a better human being. He's a phenomenal human being.
All right, St. Louis, to keep their season alive tonight, how do they win this? What do they do?
They have to lead. They have to stay out of the box. They have to try to pulverize the Nashville defense, and they've got to find a way not to get frustrated. Now, breaking news here, it sure sounds like Alexander Steen's not going to play, and if that's the case, that could be a problem. for St. Louis. He's such an important part of their power play, their penalty kill, and their five-on-five play. I'm just going to say this because I've been around this team a ton. I think injuries are a big problem for St. Louis. Whether they win this game or not, I think long-term injuries are a major problem for this team.
Well, when you say pulverize their defense, I understand targeting and all that. I understand that they've had way too much room to maneuver. But how do you catch players who are as elusive as those guys are?
You don't let Pecorine, which I've been talking about since game one of the series, showing videotape after videotape, breakdown of it. Don't let the goalie handle the puck. Short side shoot-ins, pucks in the glass, cross-corner shoot-ins, chip chase and check to yourself. But the problem for St. Louis is their shoot-ins have been so atrocious. Go look at how many times Peck has handled the puck, and they can't get any kind of forecheck. That's why those defensemen are getting a free pass. I'm telling you right now, it has nothing to do with how elusive they are. It has to do with how, you know, poor the shoot-ins have been. And I am shocked. I will tell you this. I am shocked that St. Louis has not adjusted to that throughout the course of the first four games. Absolute shock.
8 o'clock tonight, St. Louis hosting Nashville. 10:30, Anaheim hosting Edmonton. How do the Oilers get some momentum back?
Well, they got to make sure, as much as everybody's trying to shut down Connor McDavid, which I think they've done a relatively good job on, they got to make sure on the other side of things, they got a presence on Getzlaff. He's got way too much room to run with. You know, everybody talks about McDavid getting shut down. How about having a matchup for Getzlaff? They haven't had one the whole playoff. You know, that's part of your game plan. That's advanced scouting. You know, if the other guys are going to take your star out, guess what you do to their star? You take him out. That's been the frustrating thing to me to watch. You know, I know how good Getzlaff is, like we all do, but that's a big part of it. And they've given Getzlaff way too much room to run with, way too much.
You got to find ways to limit him because all the offense is generated from him right now.
Now there's guy, Pat Maroon, who certainly has the size to at least try to stop Ryan Getzlaff.
Yeah, he's going to have a hard time keeping up with him. I mean, man, he's a winger, too. He's not a centerman. That's going to be this is a tall order for them because I don't think that's what Testu's thing in terms of being able to handle those kinds of minutes. He's more of a specialist forward. Nugent Hopkins is a good player, but I don't know if he's got the size to be able to deal with Getzlaff. That's where Adam Larson, more than anything else, I think Adam Larson, the guy in the back end, it's more of a back end thing, especially when you're on the road. He's going to have to really elevate his game. You know, this is, again, not to go back too many years, but this is what we used Ulf Samuelsson for, and we had double trouble because when you had Ulfie and Shel Samuelsson, you could always match up with two different tandems, and it really worked well for us.
So tomorrow night, is Eddie Olczyk with you, or is he in Louisville?
He's in Churchill Downs.
As a handicapper and somebody that is looking to get some value, I look up and down the post positions and say, I can make a case for 6 or 7 horses. Now, how is the race going to play out? Is there going to be a lot of speed in the race? Will there be able to be closers? How is the racetrack playing on that particular day? I agree with Classic Empire being the favorite going into the Derby. His resume speaks for itself, the two-year-old champion. But you think about what's happened here the last 4 years. Four favorites at post time have won the Kentucky Derby. I don't think I'm going to go to the favorite because I think Classic Empire will be the favorite. I'm looking at the 15 horse. I like McCracken. One big reason why, he's raced 3 times here at Churchill Downs in his career. He's won all 3 races.
It's a pretty good rundown right there. What else could you ask for?
McCracken is from Slapshot. It's stocked
up. I know. It's the first thing I thought of when Rod dropped the name earlier in the week. Thanks as always, Pierre. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again Monday.
Please say hello to Ray Sherrill for me.
Yeah, I don't think I have to.
See you
later. Bye.
Hockey Insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by